Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Bet, three lines up in the bottom. It says Tanan Hatam. It's a Mishnah over there. The Mishnah is actually in Midot. It's an interesting comment here by the Rosh, who says Mishnah hi b'mesechet Midot u'mayti lahocham mashma mishum to buy the mikvah la gemara, or midot in la gemara. Since the mishnayot and midot do not have a bavli associated with them, and tamid does have a gemara associated with them, so they brought over a mishnah from midot, even though and it might be somewhat of a non sequitur here. Nevertheless, they brought the mishnah because they wanted to make a comment in the gemara on that mishnah, and therefore they brought it here in masechet tamid. So tanan hatam, ish harabait haya, mechazer al kol mishmar mashmar. He used to go around to check on all those that were guarding the Mikdash, lefanav. And he had torches that went before him. They had people carrying torches in front of him. The mishmar, or the guards that were sitting there, as they saw him approach, they were supposed to stand up. And they should greet him. It should be makdim shalom to the person coming around. If they didn't do that, it's clear that he was sleeping on the job. He waxed him with his stick. Virishut aita lo disrof et ksuto. On top of that, he had the right to burn the clothing of the guard that fell asleep. Ve'im omrim, the others that heard this going on, makol bazara, when they heard this type of, whether it was screaming or crying in the azara, they knew there was kol ben levi lokeh ubigadav nisrafim. It was the sound of a ben levi who was getting hit, and his clothing was being burnt. Shashen lo al mishmaro, because he had fallen asleep on his guard duty. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Elazar ben Yaakov tells us a story that corroborates what the Mishnah is saying. Pamachat matsuet ache imi. And one time they found my mother's brother, because that would make him possibly a Levi, even though he may not have been a Levi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. His mother's brother, his mother could have been a Bat Levi, so his uncle was a Levi. He fell asleep, Yashen, Visarfuet Ksuto, and they burnt his clothing, so he corroborates what we have in the Mishnah here, based on a first person story. So I'm Rabbi Chiya Baba, Kimati Rabbi Yochanan Bahamat Nitan. Rabbi Yochanan used to reach this Mishnah, Amar Hachi, Ashreyem Lirishonim. Praise be those of the earlier days. Shafilo al Ones Shena Osedin. Even on something which is a natural phenomenon, people fall asleep when they're tired, they become overcome by sleep. Nevertheless, Osedin, they used to punish them for falling asleep on the job. Filolo Ones Shena Alachat Kama Vakama, something that's not because of being overcome by sleep, then certainly they gave the din. That they were very makpid, that people did what was right. And they were so makpid that people did what was right. And of course, if they did something mitkavein, intentionally wrong, then they took them to task for it. Because we see here that even something that was accidental, nobody would want to fall asleep on the job. They were overcome by sleep. Nevertheless, they took them to task for falling asleep on the job. So that gives us an indication of what type of society that they kept and how they were makpid that people did that which is right. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, it's also Mishnah Avot with a slightly different lashon. What is the proper way that a person should pick? As the Mefarish says here, there's many ways that you can pick, and there are many good ways to pick. And what it means here is, well, amongst those good ways to choose, what is a good one to decide on? A person should love being rebuked. As long as there's rebuke in the world, nachat ruach ba'adi olam, then Hashem feels good. The world is in a good place. V'tovav bracha ba'im le'olam. Goodness and blessing come to the world. V'ra'a mistaleket min olam. An evil leaves the world. Farish says that it's a pol yotze. Because tovav bracha come to the olam, therefore there is no ra'a in the olam. Shenemar, the pasuk Milishlei says, v'ala mokichim in am, v'alehem tavo birkat tov. So those that chastise, inam, will delight, v'alehem tavo birkat tov, and upon them shall come a great blessing. V'yesh omrim, yachzik be'emunah yitera. That a better option, or another option that one should make, is to act. Here be'emunah is not necessarily like we think of emunah in belief, although it has some of that embedded in it, but emunah means, nasav natan be'emunah. That's used in the Gemara and Shabbat and other places, which means to be honest in your business dealings. So be'emunah is that people trust you and that you're trustworthy. Be'emunah. Now that has, I think, a derivative form of emunah, belief, because One who acts with emunah trusts that Hashem will do what is right. He doesn't feel he has to cheat or steal in order to make his parnosa. That person believes that Hashem will take care of them. But yisbi nosev notein ve'emunah. The person should act honestly and trustworthy. Shenemar einai benemnei eretz. My eyes are cast upon those that are trustworthy. Lashevet imadi, to sit with me. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Abba Yonatan, kol mochiach et chaveiro l'shem shamayim. Anybody who rebukes his friend, l'shem shamayim, zocheh l'chalko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's zocheh to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have his chelek, to have his portion, or his position, be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar. It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, this Pasuk is interesting because they're going to parse the Pasuk. The second half of the Pasuk they're going to quote in 1 second, but what the Gemara does here is reparses the Pasuk and changes the meaning of the Pasuk. I'll read you the whole Pasuk, you can see the two halves are right here, which is, Mokhiach Adam, Acharei Chein Imtza, Mimachalik Lashon. So the Pashtut of Pasuk is, that Mokhiach Adam, if you rebuke a person or a friend, Acharei Chein Imtza, that person will, in the end, find favor in me, that person will be happy that you did it, Mimachalik Lashon, from someone who flatters, for someone who just says a yes person. In the beginning, or in the early stages, but someone who says yes or flatters, the friendship or the person who you do it to will feel much better. On the other hand, if it's someone who rebukes up front, they're going to be upset at you. They're not going to be happy with it. But the Pasuk tells us that the person, Mochiach Adam Acharai, in the end, that person will be thankful to you, from the one who flatters. Now the Gemara here reparses the Pasuk, bring proof to what they're saying, which is, Shnemar Mochiach Adam Acharai. So they parse it here instead of at the end of Yimtza, which is where the Etnacht and the Pasuk is, they say Mochiach Adam Acharai. Someone who is Mochiach a person, Acharai, will be after me, meaning after me, Hashem, and he'll be together with me. But that person who's Mochiach would also have a Chud Shel Chesed, Shnemar Chein Yimtza Mimachlik Lashon. So they quote the other half of the Pasuk, that he will find Chein Yimtza. The Gemara, by reparsing the Pasuk, brings a proof to what they are suggesting over here. Number one, we have this idea that one should pick a derech of tochachot, of accepting rebuke from others in order to rectify their ways and to be on the right path, the derech hayashar. The Gemara adds on here as well that one should, their mochiach l'shem shamayim, that also has toelet. And the other thing was to be nosev noten be'emunah, that a person should act trustworthy and honest way in their business dealings. And now the Gemara continues and quotes back from our Mishnah, which is Matzon Ne'ol Yodea, that if he found the Beit HaKisei, found the bathroom closed, then he knew that he shouldn't go in. And then the Mishnah concluded with Misha Rotzei L'Trom at the Mizbeach. Whoever wanted to do Trumat HaDeshen, they went down to the Mikveh, and then they came up. So Gufa Kasha, where it says there's an internal steer in the Mishnah. Amar, Misha Rotzei L'Trom at the Mizbeach, Mashkim Etovel, Ad Shelo Yavo HaMimuneh. Anybody who wanted to be terein the Mizbeach ran down, got did it at tefillah before the Mimuneh, the Gabai, the appointee, came. Sounds like it has nothing to do with being a lottery, or lots were not cast to decide who does it. You went to the mikveh, then you were able to go and do the Trumat HaDeshen. Bahadur Tani, the mission continues, the Mimuneh, when he shows up, says, come here around, and well, let's draw lots on who's going to do Trumat HaDeshen. Alma Bapayis Talia Milta. So it sounds like there is lots drawn to decide who will do the Trumat HaDeshen. And Rabbi Lokasha, that's not a stira, kan kodem takana, kan lachar takana. It has to do with whether it was prior to or after the takana. That's not in the Mishnah that we know from Yoma. Rishona, kol mishra otzeh the Trumat Mizbeach Toreim. Anybody who wanted to do the Trumat HaDeshen was allowed to do it. The reason they did it was because it was the earliest of all. That meant getting up very early. So in order to encourage people to do that, they used to say whoever got there first got to do it. So that would encourage people to get up early and to run to the Mizbeach. So if there wasn't just one person who got up, but many people got up, they would race to the ramp up the Mizbeach. Whoever got within the four amot of the Mizbeach first, they were zocheh to do Trumat HaDeshen. If there was a tie about who got there, Emuneh omer lehem, the appointee, the gabai, he says to them, itzbil. You should shoot. Stick out one finger, two fingers. Amani motzin, what do they stick out? Achat or shtayim, one or two fingers. Ve motzin godel b'mikdash. Now stick out your thumb, because your thumb you can move in and out, and you could cheat in the, when you shoot for who gets it, odds or evens. Maser, ayu. One time, there was a case that they were ratzim olim b'kevesh. They were running together up the ramp, v'tachaf achad mehem et chaveiro. One of them bumped his friend off the ramp, and his leg broke. So there they realized that Kishra'u Beidin Shayubayim Lidei Sakana, Beidin saw that there was a danger in allowing this competitive way of getting to the Trubat Hadeshin to go on, and therefore Itkinu Shloyeh Tormim Tizbech Al Bapais. They instituted there also be lots thrown to decide who does the Trumat Hadeshin. So Bapais' solution is that the Mishnah originally what says that anybody who wanted to do the Trumat Hadeshin went down to the Mikveh. That was the original status of what had happened, that you go to the Mikveh and then you race up to the Mizbech. It says now about the Pais in the latter half of the Mishnah is what they did later on. That they threw lots later on because of the change, how the Beit Din wanted them to do the Trumat Hadeshin, or decide who does the Trumat Hadeshin. Rabba Mari Dividi Lachar Takana. Both of them are after the Takana. V'achik Tani. And this is the way to explain it. Mishu Rotze Lavo Lefayesh Mashkim Betovel. If you want to be a part of the lottery, you want to be a part of those that get lots thrown on them, you have to get up and do Tvila, actually, before he gets there. Because once the Mimuneh gets there, they're going to throw the lots right away. And if you win the lot, you have to go immediately to be donating the deshin, and you can't do it unless you went to the mikveh. So to qualify for the lottery, you had to go to the mikveh earlier so that you'd be ready to be part of that lottery in case you were chosen to do the Trumat Hadeshin. But now we'll continue with the Mishnah. Natalat ha-mafteach. So the Mimuneh, when he shows up, takes the keys from the Ziknei Be'ed Av. Remember, we're sleeping on the Rovdim inside the Beit HaMokeh. Upatach et ha-pishpash. And he opens up that small door within the doorway that enters into the Azara. Nichnas v'Beit HaMokeh l'Azara. He enters from the Beit HaMokeh into the Azara. V'nichnasu ha-Kohanim acharav. And the Kohanim came with him. U'shtei avukot shel or b'yadam. And they had two torches with them. Nechleku l'shtei kitot. They divided up into two groups. Elu ma'alchim b'achsadra derech mizrach, ve'elu ma'alchim b'achsadra derech ma'arav. Half of them went to the east, and half of them went to the west. Remember that the Beit HaMokeh is found on the northern side of the Azara. The Azara runs from east to west. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is on the western side. The opening into the Azara, Sha'ar Niknor, is on the eastern side. They are now entering from the northern side, the Beit HaMokeh, the northern side of the Azara. So in order to walk around the walls of the Azara, if you enter in from the northern side, then you would make a right turn for those that were going to the west. You'd make a left turn for those that are going to the east. So these are the two groups that are entering. They're one going to the east, one going to the west. As far as what an achsadra is an area around the edge which had pillars, upright pillars, with a roof over it. It was an open area. It wasn't a room, but it was the equivalent of a hallway of sorts that had pillars, uprights, all the way along, and a small roof over it that ran around the edge of the Azara. So now, when they went around, one went Derech Marav towards the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the other one went to the east towards Sha'ar Niknor. They went around until they met in the place where the Chavitim were made, which is out by Sha'ar Niknor, on the eastern side by the entrance to the Azara. So truthfully, the people who went left to the east had a much shorter walk than the people who went to the right. People went to the right, had to go all the way around, they had to walk the entire northern wall until they got to the west, the entire west side, then the southern side, and then back to the east, halfway down the east side to get back to the place where they did Chavitin. People went to the left, only had to walk the remainder of the northern wall, and then on the eastern side, half of the wall, until they got to right next to Sha'ar Niknor. So Higiu Elu Ve'elu, they both reached when they met at the Lishkat HaChavitin. Amru Shalom, Akol Shalom. They said, you know, Shalom, everything's alright. The purpose of what these Kohanim were doing was making sure that all the Kli Sharet were in place and ready for the day's avoda. So they were doing the morning check to ensure that everything was in place. They put the people there who are going to work on the Chavitin. Chavitin are a mincha that is brought by the Kohen Gadol each day. Machetzita b'boker or machetzita b'erev. Half in the morning, half at night. So they put the Kohanim there who are going to work on the Chavitin. They left them there to work on it. The one who had won the lots to do the Trumat HaMizbeach, who Yitrom, this was his chance. Now he goes to be Torah Mizbeach. V'heim Omrim, they say to him, Hebi Zahir Shalotiga Bakli, don't touch the Kli that they used to clear off the deshit. Ashe Tigdash Yadecha V'raglech, until you or Magdish, your hands and your feet, Min HaKiyor. You have to wash before you do Avodah in the Mikdash. The Avodah in the Mikdash, when you do any Avodah in the Mizbeach, in the Mikdash, you have to wash before you did it. V'rei HaMachtan Nitunavi B'ksoa Ben Kevish LaMizbeach. The machta, which is equivalent to some sort of shovel or dustpan that they used to clear off the deshen, that was found on the corner between the ramp and the mizbeach. If you remember how the mizbeach is laid out, the mizbeach is a square. The ramp is found on the southern side of the mizbeach. It comes down the southern side of the mizbeach. So here, the pan that they left was on the corner, which is miktsa kevesh and a mizbeach, where the ramp attaches to the mizbeach. on the western and southern corner. So that means it's on the ramp. When you go up the ramp, to the left of the ramp, as you reach the Mizbeach, that corner is where the Machta was found. Nobody goes with him. He didn't have anything in his hands because he had to be work with his hands. So nobody goes with him because you're not allowed between Ulam. Ulam is the front of the Eichal. And the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to be there unless you have a purpose in being there. Since he's the only one that had a purpose of being there, he was the only one allowed to go there. He doesn't have a candle in his hand. He goes by the light of the pyre on top of the Mizbeach. They could no longer see him. Because they're standing on the eastern side by the entrance to the Azarah, by the Sharnik Nur. And they can't see him because he's now covered by the Mizbeach. Both the Kior and this pan are found on the other side of the ramp. That's found on the southern side of the Mizbeach. On the western side of the ramp, that's where he is now, so they couldn't see him because the Mizbeach and the ramp are dividing between them and where he is. Hello, are you? Shomim et kolo. They didn't even hear what was going on. Adjayu shomim kola eitz. Shasa ben katin muchni lekinor. Until they heard him moving the kior, because ben katin had made some sort of pulley system, wooden pulley system, to allow the water to sink back down at night into the mayan that was there, because if you kept the water up, it'd be pasul belina. So he made this pulley system to allow the water to be dropped back at night and be attached to the mayan below. So he'd have to wind the pulley system up to bring the water up, and it made a lot of noise. When they heard him do that, he got kidusha davraglav. They knew where he was. Now they knew that he was washing his hands and his feet when they heard that noise. Mina kior. Natamachta kesef. He takes the silver shovel or pan. Vala al rosh mizbeach. And now he goes up to the top of the mizbeach. So that's the answer to your question. And he only went up to the top of the mizbeach after he'd gotten the pan. Pinata gichalim helech. He moves the coals all around. And choteta muchalot neprimiyot. He takes from the consumed ones that are all the way on the inside, he puts them into the pan. Yarad. Then he goes down back the, down the ramp. When he reaches the floor of the Azara, hafach panav litzafon. He turns north side. He walks towards the north on the eastern side of the ramp. 10 amot, roughly the kevesh itself is 30 amot long on the ground level. And therefore he goes one third of the way next to the ramp on the ground floor on the eastern side of the ramp. Of a distance of 3 tefach away from the ramp itself. Place, which is the deshen, where they used to place the chumat deshen every morning, as well as the innards of the olat of that they had to throw out was put there, and the clearing of the ashes on the mizbeach, mizbeach zahav from the ketoret, and the dishon ha-minorah, the ashes from the menorah, they placed in that same location. The Gemara asks, "Umi avach sadrot v'azarah?" How could it be that they had these hallways, these pillared, covered pillared areas around the edge of the Azarah? How do we know that you cannot make aksadra in the Azarah? Tamalomar, lo titalacha ashira kol eitz, eitz ha-mizbach Hashem elokecha. Hochi kamar. He now parses the pasuk and says, lo titalacha ashira. Read it like this. Don't plant any trees of ashira. And lo titalacha kol eitz. And you can't put any wood, eitz ha-mizbach Hashem elokecha, next to the mizbach of Hashem. So it sounds from here that you can have no woodwork next to the mizbeach. The assumption being here that the aksadra was made out of wood. You had wooden pillars that held up a wooden roof. So Rav Chista, aksadra shel binyan. We're not talking about an aksadra made out of wood. We're talking about an aksadra that's made out of stone. There were stone pillars that held up a roof. That roof might have been of some wood or some covering, but pillars themselves that held up the roof and made the hallway were a stone, and therefore it's not under this Isur that Rabbi Lozim Yaakov says of putting wood as part of the binyan HaMikdash next to the Mizbeach. Haya bodkim kolchim lememra, the chavitin habikadimi. Sounds like this, that they left people to work on the minchat chavitim, that was the first thing they, first avoda they did in the Mikdash. Vatanya, don't we have a braita? V'yayin she'in davar kodim l'tamid shel shachar. How do we know that there was nothing before the tamid shel shachar? Tamid omar v'racha leha ola. So those who say the karmanot every morning, in Abaye Avayim Seder Seder Meracha, at the end of that we say, V'racha leha ola. Mean that everything in the Mikdash comes after the first ola. The ola mean the karmanot tamid shel shachar. Bamaraba haola ola rishona. When it says haola is hey ayidia, that means the first ola meaning the tamid shel shachar. So it sounds like that's the first avoda of Mikdash. So how come they set out to do the chavitin before the karban tamid? So Rav Yehuda lechamim chamim lervicha. They didn't bring the minchat chavitin. Then they began the process of making the minchat chavitin, which includes dipping the dough into boiling hot water. So they began to heat up the water in order to do the revucha for the minchat chavitin. So they began the process of making the chavitin, but not that the chavitin preceded the tamid shel shachar. Tamid shel shachar will put on, and immediately afterwards they put the minchat chavitin on, or kohen gadol will put the minchat chavitin on, but they had to begin those preparations much earlier in order to heat up the water to do the revucha. Right, we'll do a part of this mishnah. It's multiple mishnayot in the mishnah. And I'll stop, you know, after we get through two or three of the mishnayot that are found in the mishnah, and then we'll continue tomorrow with the remainder. Roechav Sherad, his friends, the Kohanim, who were with them, saw that he came down the ramp. V'heim ratzim uvaim. They come now, run up. U'mi'arubi kichu yidayim raglayim. They run to the kior in order to mi'kadesh. They're yadayim raglayim in a kior. Natlu et ha-magrefot. They took the shovels, v'et ha-tzinorot, and the pitchforks. V'alu l'rosh ha-mizbeach. And they go up to the top of the mizbeach. Haverim ve'pidarim, the leftover limbs from the tamid shel ben arba'im, shelo nitaklu mibe'erev, they were not yet consumed overnight. In the Mishnah, in the Mishnayot, it says solkim over here, and the word means solkim, so over here it says solkim. Solkim oto al tzidei mizbeach, they used to move them to the side of the mizbeach. Im ein makom batzadim, if there was no room on the side, makzikim sodrim otan besovev, or alakeves. They used to put them either onto the suvev, the place where the Kohanim walked around, the lower walkway around the Mizbeach, or on the ramp, because all of those are nitkadesh, like the top of the Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to take these items off the Mizbeach, otherwise they're pasul, and you can't put them back on. So what they want to do is keep them on the Mizbeach, but be able to clear out the middle. Hechilu malin efer agab tapuach. They used to move all the ashes towards the center of the Mizbeach to make this large pile of ashes, which they called the Tapuach. Tapuach haya b'emza Mizbeach. This pile of ashes in the middle of Mizbeach. Pemim shayu alav kishlosh miyod kur. The times that it reached 300 kur, which is, each kur is 30 sa'ah, which means about 9,000 sa'ah, or roughly a little less than 400 liters worth of ashes that were on the Mizbeach. The Gemara later on says that's a derech kuzma. That was an exaggeration, but it used to get very big. During the regal, when they had tons and tons of karbanot, they used to not take out the deshen, because that was the beauty of the mizbeach, that there were so many karbanot, but that the ashes were so high, that was the praise of Bnei Yisrael, that they were doing such, and they didn't want to remove it. And there was never a time that Kohanim were lazy in taking out the deshen. So something that's a response to the regalim part of it, that a Kohen never was lazy about it, and when they didn't do it on the regalim, it was on purpose that they didn't take it out, because they wanted to look nice, and they wanted to show how many karbanot were brought. It wasn't because they were lazy, but that they did it. Even though the hotzat deshen is not an avoda, nevertheless nobody was lazy about it. There is a machloket, we've mentioned this before, between most of the Rishonim who believe that hotzat deshen was done when it was necessary, as opposed to the Rambam who believes that hotzat deshen was done every single day. No matter what it was done. So over here, the Rambam says that they suspended it during the regalim, but otherwise they did it every day. Other Rishonim, including Rashi, say that they took it out when it was necessary. When it got too big, that's when they took it outside of the machanot, they took the deshen out. But otherwise, it wasn't necessary to do it every day. The other thing with the tapuach. Over here, all the Rishonim say that the tapuach was this pile of ashes in the center of the Mizbeach. The Perush HaRaivad himself over here says the same thing, that it was a pile of ashes in the center of the Mizbeach. The Raivad in Hilchot to Midim Musafim, I think it's Perek Beth, Halacha Zayin, over there, argues on the Rambam about what the tapuach was, and he actually says it was a structure on top of the Mizbeach. There was actually a circular platform on the top of the Mizbeach, which was called the tapuach. And when they moved the ashes, they moved it onto this circular platform called the tapuach. It wasn't the pile of ashes itself that was the tapuach, but this circular platform that was part of the Mizbeach, that was called the tapuach. Okay, we'll stop over here.